You guys are always so loving and so kind every time I worship with you all. And so I just love it. I love worshiping God with you guys. And so what we're going to do here tonight is we're going to kind of get maybe a little bit practical, if that's okay with everybody who's here. You know, I think everyone who has ever made a decision, everyone who is old enough to make decisions on their own, we all really need to be locked in and keyed into what we're going to be talking about here this evening. Hopefully that's going to be extremely evident here in just a couple of minutes. Now, when Billy asked me to close out this meeting, naturally I asked him, well, what do you want me to teach on? What do you want me to preach? And he said to me, whatever I need to hear, you all are going to need to hear as well. So I believed him and I took that to heart. So what I did is I did some thinking, a little bit of self-reflection. And what I settled on is maybe the number one thing that I need to focus on in my own life is something as simple as decision making. And maybe it's because we've just studied Lot back home at South Coleman. We've been going through Genesis. And so when you get to Lot, you find Lot in a lot of very troubling situations. And you just wonder, how could someone who the Holy Spirit calls righteous find himself in some of these different situations? And the answer is decisions. He made some bad decisions. His decision-making process was off. So making good decisions is a very difficult thing, even for very godly and righteous people. But still, I want to make them. I still want to make those good decisions. So what I need to do is I need to figure out how. How do I make good decisions? And how do I make those good decisions on a consistent basis? Because everyone can make a good decision maybe every now and then, but how do I improve my odds of making good decisions? I think what makes most decisions maybe kind of tough, kind of difficult, is the circumstances around the decisions can change a lot sometimes. Like, obviously, I can decide what I want to do in any given situation, but what happens if someone or something else doesn't go according to plan? I think considering all of that makes it just a little bit tougher. But is there something that I can do personally to maybe establish some consistency in my decision-making process? And I think the answer to that is yes. In fact, I think every single decision that I make, even the very tough ones, I've actually already made those decisions based on things I've already put into my mind long ago. And I don't even mean strictly spiritual decisions, although that is going to end up being our focus here this evening. But for example, my girlfriend Macy, she texts me and she says, well, Cody, I want to hang out at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And I take out my phone and I check my phone and I see that the Los Angeles Lakers are playing at 6:15 on Saturday. Now it's decision time. I have a choice to make. And that decision is going to have consequences. And which consequences I'm willing to deal with, I think that says a lot about me and the different things that I value. Am I going to disappoint my girlfriend or am I going to miss LeBron James getting his fourth ring? Some decisions are very, very difficult. Now, admittedly, this completely hypothetical situation, that decision wasn't nearly as difficult as some of the decisions that we have to make on a regular basis. But you can see that my decision was made based on what I deemed was important. How I have my priorities set, really, that was the determining factor for my decision. So, of course, big decisions can be tough, but really, even with the tough decisions, we make our decisions based on our priorities, the ones that we've established long, long ago. Now, with that in mind, I want you to think of all of the different decisions that you and I make on a regular basis. Here I'm going to list a couple of different situations and see if you fall into one of these different categories. I know there are some kids here that maybe you have to think about school or about college and what college that you want to go to. I think that's a tough decision sometimes. There's a lot of weighing of the different options. What does this school specialize in? What kind of jobs will be available to me afterwards? Will I be able to transfer to a good grad school maybe? So you take the answers to all of those different questions and then you judge based on the priorities that you have already predetermined. And so if you already want to be a lawyer, you can't go to a school that doesn't specialize in law. That decision has already been made for you. Now, it's not always that cut and dry, and I can empathize with that because those decisions, those college and school decisions for me, they really weren't all that long ago. I can still remember them. Now, some of you all here tonight are maybe a little bit too old to be able to say that, but that's okay. You all make very, very difficult decisions as well. Think of the big family decisions that people have to make. Is it time to have kids? Should I take a job in that area? You're probably a part of that school decision as well. I think we all make different decisions with our friends. Who am I going to spend time around? And sometimes we have to choose between spending time between this friend or that friend. And I think we all make financial decisions on a big scale and on a small scale. Sometimes it's a big decision, like it's a matter of buying a car or maybe buying a house. Sometimes it's more like a medium decision, like maybe you're setting your budget for the week or for the month. Sometimes it's even a really, really small decision, like deciding to buy the less expensive brand of something. But we all make financial decisions. Every single person here makes decisions, and those decisions have consequences. And again, how we process those consequences, that tells a lot about us. Now, we can all find ourselves in one of these four different categories here. And again, these decisions have consequences, but they also have consequences that involve our spiritual outcome as well. Think of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So we know that if we surround ourselves with wise friends and wise people, that's a good thing. Their wisdom is going to rub off on us. We're going to be blessed. But if we surround ourselves with fools or maybe people who are just not quite as wise, then that's going to rub off on us as well. And then there's harm coming to us. But we assess the situation and we make the decision. But we've determined what we deemed as valuable a long, long time ago. The question is, are we willing to deal with the consequences of maybe losing that relationship? Maybe there's going to be some temporary sadness there. Or are we maybe more willing to deal with the consequences of having bad companions? That's corruption, that's harm, that's ultimately the potential loss of our souls. How we handle these situations, it shows our priorities, and that's why decision-making is so crucial. Our decisions show our priorities, and our priorities make our decisions. So in order to make good decisions, we have to have good priorities. So absolutely, our decisions matter, but they're just the outward demonstration of what's already going on in our hearts. So we need to hit the source if we're going to make good decisions. Because we might be able to make a good decision in this area, but if we have bad priorities, it's certainly going to show up in that area over there. For example, if I have wealth over God in my priority list, I might be able to convince myself to give properly. I think it's going to be very difficult, but it is possible. But the chances of me getting it right and making proper, godly financial decisions in every single aspect of my life, that's slim to none because my priorities aren't in order. And then maybe I do get it right in this area and that area, but it's going to keep moving around. The problem is just going to keep showing itself in a different area, and I'm going to end up playing like whack-a-mole, except my soul is going to be at stake. And so when we find it extremely tough to make godly decisions, that should show us that there is a priority issue on our part. But that gives us an opportunity to fix it as well. So even the bad decisions that we've made in the past, those decisions have value as well because we can use those to see where we can improve. Instead of beating ourselves up, we can actually better ourselves. So our priorities are such a big deal because they show us where we are headed. In fact, I think they show us the decisions that we are ultimately bound to make. And I think that's why God cares so much about our priorities. He just cares so much about them. He always has and he always will care about our priorities. One consistent theme in Scripture is that God cares about what you care about. I.e., he notices when we have a lot of value in something. That is something that he has his eye on. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that that's something that he values as well. Now, I've noticed that personally, I know a lot of the things that I need to do. Like, I know that I need to have my priorities in order. And probably you all know that as well. But sometimes we need to look at what God has to say about some of these different things to kind of shake us back to our senses. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that God doesn't really care about some of these different things. Well, we can't do that with our priorities because He cares a lot. God knows that the only way to make consistent godly decisions is with godly priorities. And that is why He watches over our decisions. Turn over in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I want us to look at a statement that's made by the angel of the Lord here. Maybe the circumstances or the situation is that Abraham has been told to sacrifice his chosen son Isaac, the son that was supposed to bring all of the promises that God had made to him. And at this point of the story, Abraham has the knife ready and he's ready to finish the job. But let's read verses 11 and 12 and see what happens. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So let's talk about what we just read there. I think that God assesses Abraham's priorities here in Genesis chapter 22. And He assesses priorities through our actions. So here in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham has an extremely tough decision to make. He is told to sacrifice his son, and he actually goes through with it, or at least he's ready to. It's as good as done in Abraham's mind. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says that he offered Isaac, and that was past tense, i.e. Abraham has already made the decision to kill Isaac. And so what does this decision show? What does it show about his priorities? Because Abraham did not withhold his son from God, that showed who he feared more. That's exactly what the angel says in verse 12. Because he made the decision to choose God over his son, that demonstrated that Abraham has his priorities correct. And God blesses him because of that. And God has always blessed those who have him at the top of their priority list. You think of Abraham, you think of Job. He's another example. Israel as a whole, when she had God at the top of her priority list, she was blessed. But when other things like idols got in the way and they distracted her from the Lord, then she was carried away into captivity and she was punished. When they made the decision to worship other gods, they were showing that the real God was not at the top of their priority list. Think of what was the first command in the Ten Commandments that was given to them. "You shall have no other gods before me." And they couldn't keep that. That's because God wasn't at the top of their list. So they couldn't fulfill their command. So they had to suffer. You can see how his system is set up to encourage good priorities and discourage bad priorities. Good things happen when you prioritize him, and bad things happen when you don't. And I think you can also see why God demands that he be at the top of the list as well, because he had plans for Abraham here and he had plans for all of his people for Israel. And he has plans for each and every one of us as well, namely us getting to heaven. But we can only accomplish that if he is at the top of our priority list. God is assessing those priorities because it shows who's ready and willing to do the work that he has set out for us. It shows who's fit for the kingdom. And I think the same exact thing is true today, because today Jesus is concerned with our priorities. He assesses our priorities. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Here Jesus recognizes the value in priorities, but he also gives a consequence for when you don't have those priorities in order. Let's read Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So there is not a single thing in this entire world that is more valuable than your soul. Not fame, not money, not sports, not politics. There's not a single thing. All of those things are distractions. And really, I'm sure there's more than just the ones that I've named there. In fact, if you can think of some distractions that are present in your life, you can put them on that list as well. All of those things represent the potential for you to get your priority list wrong. Now, I think they can be on the list. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, with some of those different things, I think there's actually some value there. But the minute that any one of those things tries to maybe creep up the list, try to climb up, and they start to take precedent over the more important things, well, Jesus says you have to correct that. We have to check our priorities, because there is nothing in the world that you could trade for your soul and have it be a fair trade. What's interesting about this passage, though, is the lengths that Jesus says that we have to go to. Even your life can't take priority over him. And I think that's extremely telling, because if your life can't take priority over him, I think that almost certainly excludes plenty of other things as well. In order to truly be a follower of him, which I believe all of us want to be, Jesus says we must deny ourselves at every single turn. We are below him on the priority scale as well. Now, of course, he's not saying not to enjoy any aspect of life, but momentary happiness, that's a distraction as well. So if it comes to it, I'd rather be sad here for a little bit in order to experience joy in heaven forever. I think that's a great trade. The point is, when our priorities are right, the decision is obvious, and we will make it 10 out of 10 times. When it's anything versus him, he wins every single time. The decision is clear, or at least it should be. And that's why he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So he's got to come first. In order for this to work, in order for Christianity to work, he's got to come first, even over the basic necessities of life. Until you get God at the top of your priority list, consistent, proper, godly decision making is impossible. But once you get him at the top of the list, you can and you will make good decisions. So if we know that in order to make good decisions, we need to have proper priorities. And we also know that that is something that God cares about. He cares very deeply about our priorities. Then I think we need to find out where our priorities are right now. We cannot afford to leave here tonight without having our priorities in order. Again, no one can afford to leave here tonight without making sure our priorities are in order. Because Jesus makes the argument that souls are at stake when you don't have your priorities in order. So this is big stuff. But I also understand that it can be a bit daunting. It can be a bit overwhelming to figure out where all of your different priorities are. Like, how do you take stock of everything that's going on in your life? Well, I've kind of developed this little checklist to kind of make sure that we're on the right path. And it's called the ART test. And hopefully you guys can remember that. It's A-R-T, ART. If you can't, maybe you can write it down. You can tie it on your fingers like they did in the Old Testament. But that should be easy enough to remember. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And let's read a couple of verses here before we explain this out. Matthew chapter 6. Again, these are the words of Jesus. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and he is again instructing his disciples on their priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." So how do we find out our priorities? This is going to be the assessment. Maybe we can look at this and it kind of tells on us. It tells us where our different priorities are. And the A, it stands for attention. Where is my attention? I think that is a telltale sign of where our priorities are. Think of some things in life, in real day-to-day life that might catch your eye or get your attention. Maybe it's a nice car. Maybe you're walking down the street and you see an expensive car drive by and you look and you say, wow, that's a nice car. You think that there is value in that car, and maybe there is. Maybe there is some monetary value in it. But because you value that car, that's why it has your attention. Now, obviously, that's in a physical sense, but I think we do this in a figurative sense as well. Any desired future plan, that is something that you have your eyes on. We kind of make up these scenarios of what our future life will look like. We assign it some value, and then we strive after it. You know the phrase, eyes on the prize. We set goals, we look towards something, and then we chase after it. And so what we look at or what we strive after, that has a great bearing on the decisions that we make because it shows our priorities. That's why Jesus says that if the eye is clear, then the whole life is going to benefit from it. But if it's not focused on godly things, then we're going to suffer as a result. So if my eyes are set on being maybe the most successful businessman, then I can guarantee you that my actions are going to make that evident. If that is at the top of my priority list, then every single decision that I make is going to be in favor of being the best businessman. It just makes sense. What we strive after, what we seek after, the body follows. But if my eyes are set on being the best Christian that I can possibly be, then guess what? Every single decision that I make is going to be with that goal in mind. It's going to be in favor of that. What you strive after is what you get. And I think that's where our eyes need to be. We need to be focused on being the best Christian possible. Let's fix our eyes on that. But again, that starts with our priorities. So where is our attention? The R is for resources. The whole statement here in Matthew chapter 6, it's given in the context of this struggle between wealth and between God. Where will our allegiance be? And I think our resources are a huge indicator of where our priorities lie. Number one, if wealth and finance are always struggling with God, if they're above God on the priority scale, then we're going to have some issues making godly financial decisions. We won't give to the church the way that we need to. Maybe we won't give to other people and be benevolent the way that we need to. Just think about it. If you are focused on accumulating money, if accumulating money is at the top of your priority list, I would say giving is pretty counterproductive to that goal because you are losing money as you give. That's against the goal. And even worse, more than likely, you aren't going to see any of that money back. But that's why you have to have God first. He has to be at the top of the list. And so if we are struggling to give of our resources, then I think that is an indicator that our priorities might be off. But also, maybe we just have a bad attitude while we are giving, I think that tells us something as well. Maybe the allegiance is to money when we have a grudging attitude, but maybe it's not. So if I have no problem dropping hundreds of dollars on football tickets, but then it's really, really hard for me to give or to remember to give, then maybe football is the priority. You know, you're giving money to a sports program and you're not going to see any of that money back. But that's, for some reason, that's not a problem. No, I think that is a problem. I think that's a priority problem. Now, remember those distractions that we talked about earlier, and sports was one of them. If we are more willing to give to anything in this life than we are to give back to God, then that's a problem. That's a priority problem. And we can't make any excuses for that. We just need to make the changes that are necessary to get our priorities in order. How we use our resources is a major indicator for this assessment. But lastly, the T is for time. And it's not specifically stated here, but really it's almost just a given. How we spend our time, that shows us where our priorities lie. A major portion of this time aspect is really just comparing how much time we spend doing godly things in comparison to how much time we spend doing other things. I think if you just took a week and you carefully jotted down every single thing that you did for a week, you would be shocked at where your time goes. If we have 25 hours of free time during the week and maybe we spend 2 hours doing godly things, but we spend 4 times reading and talking about politics and 6 hours golfing, Well, I think that says something about our priorities, just in that we are placing value on those other things. But how about how we actually use the time that we have devoted to God? Because we have times that are set aside for worship. Do we use it? When we're here, are we doing the things that we are supposed to be doing while we're here? Are we encouraging and edifying one another? If this time is most precious to us, then that will be clear with how we use that time. While we're here, we won't be on our phones. We won't be thinking about the next meal or about the game that happened yesterday. We will be making the most out of the time that we have. Or maybe we're always late and we're always eating into the time that we're supposed to be spending with the saints. Or maybe we're just gone right after, like as soon as that closing prayer is done, we're out. It's almost like 60 to 90 minutes is the maximum amount of time that we can give to God. I think that's a problem, and it's a priority problem. If we're late to church and we're never late to work, or we're never late to maybe the kids' football games, I think that shows us where our priorities lie. I think that shows us where our treasure is. Attention, resources, and time, how we spend those things, that shows us what we truly value. The things that we give the most of these different things, that's where our treasure is. And again, we don't need to make any excuses for it. If your treasure isn't really where you think that it ought to be, then just make those changes. Jesus says that don't store up treasure for things here on earth. These things rot, they decay, and they are not nearly as dependable as we might think they are. You know, if 2020 hasn't shown us that life is always subject to change, then I really don't think anything will. Put your treasure somewhere where it will be a guarantee. Put it in heaven. Every single decision that we make, it needs to be with that in mind. Now, we established at the very, very beginning that everybody here wants to make good and godly decisions. We all want to know how to make the hard decisions of life. Well, I think keeping it in our minds that we are supposed to be storing up treasure in heaven, that's how we consistently make good and godly decisions. So yes, we do have difficult decisions to make. And yes, there are a ton of distractions, and it is asking a lot of us. But we have heaven as our future, and that needs to be the priority. So if that's the case, if we truly want to get to heaven, then we need to act like it. We need to demonstrate that in our actions. We need to demonstrate that in our priorities. So my question is, where is your treasure? I think you need to be asking yourself that question on a regular basis. If you want to be able to make good and godly decisions, you need to figure out where your treasure is. Because you want to go to heaven. I believe that everybody here wants to go to heaven. I don't think you'd be here if you didn't. But sometimes you just have to prove it. Obviously, you don't need to prove it to me because I'm not all that important, but prove it to yourself. You know, if you can demonstrate that heaven and heavenly things are what is most important to you, then it makes those decisions easier. Now, it may not take away all of the tough decisions, but it will make some of the tough decisions a little less tough. And the smaller decisions will just be a piece of cake. And I think you deserve that. You deserve to make getting to heaven a little bit easier each day. Don't make it harder on yourself by mixing up your priorities. But again, you've got to do that on your own. You know, I can't do that for you. Mom and Dad can't do that for you. There are no shortcuts with this. Remember, we make our decisions long before the decisions are actually present. It takes sacrifices. It takes priorities. It takes a denial of self. But over time, that process, it gets easier. And in the meantime, it definitely takes away some of the stress of some of those difficult decisions. So make it easier. Get your priorities in order. And more importantly, just prove it to God. Because I would say that all of us here, we are in the assessment period right now. God is watching, and He is seeing who is going to choose Him over everything else. My question is that you? Again, you have to prove it. And I know that you can do it. So I appreciate your time and attention here this evening. Maybe there's someone here tonight who doesn't have him at the top of their priority list. There's a lot of different things that can happen in an individual's life, and there's a lot of distractions, and I think everybody gets that. We understand that, but we also understand that we are called and we can do so much better. Let's all make those changes today. Let's assess ourselves and find where our priorities lie. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, then that's a sign that really your priority list is not up to par. part of putting Christ first in our lives is actually obeying all of His commands and following His word. Well, baptism is a command. It's not an extra. Coming into contact with His blood is a necessity for the remission of sins and entrance into the kingdom. And that's only possible through baptism. So please make that right here tonight. Or maybe you don't know exactly what you need to do, but you do know that you need to do something. Maybe you know that your priorities just aren't in order. Please ask those questions. You can ask that during the song. You can come up. You can ask me or any of the other leaders here afterwards. I promise you, anyone would love to talk to you about your salvation. Don't leave here tonight without being 100% confident of your eternal salvation. So whatever your needs are, please make them known now as we stand and as we sing.